Tonight in the Gospel, we want to turn your attention to 1 Peter and the chapter 1, the first epistle of Peter. If you want to find Peter, find Hebrews. You'll then find James, and then you'll come into contact with 1 Peter. And so it's 1 Peter and the chapter number 1, and we take our reading from the 13th verse of the chapter, verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's hear God's word. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. We'll end our reading there at the end of verse 21. With the word of God open, can we pray and seek the Lord just together? Child of God, you pray that help might be given as God would help us to preach the word tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for all that has occurred in this house already tonight. The singing of thy praise, the offering, O God, of prayer, the reading of thy word. Now, dear God, as we come to the ministry of it, we're fully aware, dear God, of human limitations. Fully aware, dear God, that we need an anointing. The anointing that breaks the yoke. And we pray, O God, that there might be the anointing of thy Spirit in this house tonight. We pray that we might make much of Jesus Christ. For there's none other worth the making much of but him. And so we pray that all eyes might be fixed on Christ tonight, and that men and women would see in him a beauty that they've never seen in him before. So come, dear God, clothe this preacher with the power of God. Lord, take away all self and all sin, and fill us with God the Holy Ghost, and glorify thy Son, and exalt him in this house, and we'll leave the rest to thee, because we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If I was to ask you tonight, what is precious in your life? I'm sure some of you would answer that question by saying, my health is precious to me. The person who often says that is the person who has known a time of sickness, a time of hospitalization, and they're aware of the preciousness of their health, having had it taken away from them for a period of time. Others would say to us, in answer to that question, that my children, my family is precious to me, and children are precious. The Word of God describes children as being the heritage of the Lord. Some would point to some piece of jewelry, maybe a wedding ring or maybe a mother's brooch or a father's watch, and say, preacher, this is what is precious to me tonight. Others would identify some antique, some family heirloom, some maybe letter or card from their sweetheart, or maybe a car or some possession that they have in life, and they would say, preacher, this is precious to me. You know, the Bible speaks about precious things. In Psalm 49 and the verse 8, we read about the preciousness of the soul's redemption. For there we read in Psalm 49, from verse number 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious. The redemption, the freedom, the deliverance from sin is described as being something that is precious in the sight of God. In Psalm 116 and the verse 15, it declares how that the death of the Christian is precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sins. In Psalm 139, in the verse 17, it reveals how God's thoughts towards his children are precious. The psalmist would say, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Whenever Peter came to write his two epistles, this preciousness or this thought of things that are precious permeate throughout those two letters. In 1 Peter and the chapter number 1, the apostle states that the trial of the believer's faith is precious. There we read that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the inspired writer, he speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ under the terms of a building, him being the living stone, the chief cornerstone. And he declares there in the verse 6 of that chapter that he is precious. Notice what it says. Therefore, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in the verse 7, we read again, we read that he is precious. Unto you which believe, he is precious. We read that within that little epistle again. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and the verse number 1, the apostle Peter, he speaks about the faith of the saints of God, and how that is precious. We read there, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verse number 4, Peter speaks about the promises of God and how they're precious. Wherefore, or whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The faith of the saints, the trial of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the promises of God, all of these things are described in these little epistles as being precious. But tonight we read of something else that Peter terms as being precious. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. For we read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In this meeting house tonight, I want us to consider the precious blood of Christ, because I believe that in all true gospel preaching, the blood of Jesus Christ must stand out in solitary splendor. The blood of Jesus Christ must stand out in solitary splendor. So this Easter Sunday night, I want us to simply answer this question. Why is the blood of Christ precious? Why is the blood of Jesus Christ precious? There are just two main thoughts tonight. We can say, first of all, that the blood of Christ is precious because of the one who shed it. Because of the one who shed it. The key factor that makes any item precious is the rarity and the uniqueness of that item. For example, there is only one painting of the Mona Lisa by the Italian artist Leonardo da Vinci in the world. And because there is only one, it is believed that that painting is worth £530 million. That's how precious that painting is. What makes it precious is because of its uniqueness, because of its rarity. So rare is that painting that it makes it precious. You see, the rarer the item, the higher the value, and the more precious, therefore, it is. Can I say concerning the blood of Jesus Christ? The blood of Jesus Christ was no ordinary blood. For it was the blood that coursed through the veins of the one who was not only truly God, but was also truly man. It was the blood of the incarnate God-man. Not only that, but his blood belonged to one who possessed a sinless humanity. And no other man that has ever walked on the stage of human history has ever been that who has possessed a sinless humanity. Oh, there was something unique about the one who possessed this blood. There was something, we could say, reverently speaking, rare concerning this blood. It was so unique that this blood coursed through the arteries of one who was untouched, one who was untainted by the corruption of sin. We are told by the inspired writers of Scripture that he knew no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. We are told that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. What did Judas Iscariot say whenever he went to betray the Lord Jesus Christ? And whenever he went back again and threw the 30 pieces of silver in before the chief priests and the scribes, this is what Judas Iscariot said. He says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. This blood is innocent blood. This blood has no sin attached to it. No, Jesus Christ was the sinless, holy, harmless, undefiled, unblemished, unflawed Lamb of God. And that's why it says that this is precious blood. Precious blood. Because of the one to whom it belonged. As one preacher put it concerning the blood of Jesus Christ, he said this, the blood of Jesus Christ possesses all the worth and all the glory of the Godhead. All the divine virtue and efficacy of deity, from this it derived its power to satisfy, its virtue to atone, its efficacy to cleanse. And this is the reason, listen to this, sinner, this is the reason why one drop of this precious blood falling upon the sin-burdened conscience in a moment dissolves that weighty load and fills the soul with joy and peace in believing. And this is why there exists not a stain of human guilt which the atoning blood of Emmanuel cannot utterly and forever efface. Why, in a word, it is the blood that cleanseth from all sin, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And tonight, I want to present that blood to you, the blood of God's own dear Son. He would shed it for you, man. He would shed it for you, woman, that you might be forgiven of your sins. Let me ask you then, has the precious blood of Jesus been applied to your sin-burdened conscience? Let me ask you, man, in this meeting, in the words of the hymn writer, have you as a sinner plunged in the fountain filled with Emmanuel's blood and had those scarlet sins cleansed, those crimson climes subdued. Are you aware, man, in this house tonight? Are you aware of the preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, God's Son, would die and give His precious blood for you. He so freely gave it so that you might be pardoned and cleansed from your sin. Let me ask you, do you appreciate that the Holy Savior offered up Himself as a sinless sacrifice so that sinful man could be reconciled to God by the shedding of His blood? Can I ask you, in Calvary's bloody spectacle, and so it was, let me ask you, do you see how gross and how grave and how grotesque your sins are when it would take the blood of God's own dear Son to cleanse those sins away? No other way. No other way could your sins be forgiven by the shedding of Jesus' precious blood. You know, the preciousness of this blood is inextricably linked to the one who shed it. It was the one who was the delight of the Father, the one who was the darling of heaven, the one who was the desire of the nations, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the preciousness of Him is inextricably linked to the preciousness of all that He possesses. And because He is precious, His blood is precious. The blood of God's own dear Son. That's how, and that's why the blood is described by Peter as being precious. This is God's, Christ's blood, sinless blood. Oh, do you see it tonight, sinner? If you do, come. Come to the fountain, so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Wash and be clean, because the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Christ. That truth, that verse in 1 John 1:7, moves us on to our second main point, a little lengthier than our first point. But can I say to you that the blood of Jesus Christ is not only precious because of the one who shed it, but the blood of Jesus Christ is precious because of all the blessings that come to the repenting sinner through the blood. Because of all of the blessings that come to the repenting sinner by the precious blood. Let me list and enlarge some of those blessings that you as a sinner tonight could experience if only you would trust in Christ. The first of these blessings that come to us through the blood is the blessing of the cleansing from sin. The cleansing from sin. But not only the cleansing from sin, but the cleansing from all sin. Quoted the verse a few moments ago, well worth the repeating. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So great are the iniquities of man. So entrenched are the transgressions of a woman that the only agent that is able to cleanse a sinner's sin stains is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only agent. Man, you can be sprinkled by baptism. You can be immersed even by the waters of baptism. But I tell you, the waters of baptism will not wash your sins away. There is only one agent that is able to cleanse the foulest sinner, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no salvation outside the blood of Christ. I want you to get that tonight. There is no salvation outside the blood of Jesus Christ. C.H. Spurgeon said, our sins are great. He said, every sin is great. But there is some that in our apprehension, in our thinking, seem to be greater than others. There may be some sins of which man cannot speak. But there is no sin that the blood of Christ cannot wash away. He went on to say, blasphemy, however profane, lust, however foul, covetousness, however far it may have gone into theft, breach of the commandments of God, however much of riot it may have run, all this may be pardoned and washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Bless His name. All sin be forgiven. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here tonight. You know the record of your past. And that record is full of sin. Years of sin. Deep, dark sins. Sins that if they were placed on the wall of this building tonight, you would run out of this house and you would never come back here again. In actual fact, you would go to the other side of the world. In case someone met you, knowing your sinful past, and maybe you're in this house tonight and you think, preacher, you don't understand what I have done. You don't know where I have been. You don't know what crimes that I've committed against my God and against my Maker. You don't understand, preacher, where sin has taken me to, the depths that I'm in, the bankruptcy that I'm in, the defilement that I'm in. Preacher, you don't understand. My sins are too great. If that's your condition tonight, I want to focus your attention on a three-lettered word that we find in 1 John 1, verse 7. It is the little word all. Let me place the emphasis on it. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. And so, you may find that hard to grasp, but it's in black and white. God has said it, and I believe it, that all your sins can be forgiven, washed, cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The foulest sins, the basest sins, the darkest sins, the vilest sins, the grossest sins can all be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 12, verse 31. He said these words, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. What is that sin? The unpardonable sin. It is the sin of the man or woman who has felt God speaking to them, God convicting them of their sin, and God bringing them to a realization, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. It is to that man whom God speaks, if that individual, that man, that sinner, if they spurn the speaking voice of the Spirit of God, if they say no to Jesus Christ, if they say for the final time, not this man, not this Savior, not this Christ for me, if they say that, well then that man cannot be forgiven of that sin. And so let me say, God is speaking. It's about time you came, lest you commit the unpardonable sin. But every other sin, it's Christ said it. Now you'll take Him at His word, won't you? The Lord Jesus Christ said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Oh, bring your sins to Christ. Let me ask you, are you seeking absolution from your sins? Are you longing for your sin-stained soul to be cleansed? Tonight, are you yearning for pardon with regard to original sin? inherited from Adam with regard to your own personal sins? Are you seeking pardon for your secret sins as well as your open sins? Are you seeking for pardon for your sins of heart and sins of mind? Are you seeking pardon for the sins of omission, the sins of commission? Are you seeking for forgiveness for the sins that were great and sins that are small? If you're seeking such forgiveness, if you're seeking such pardon, if you're seeking such deliverance, if you're seeking such absolution from your sins, then come to Calvary's tide. Wash in me, clean man. Wash in me, clean woman. Thank God all, every sin has to go. Neath the cleansing flow, hallelujah, rolled away. The burden of my heart, it's rolled away. Precious blood of Christ not only secures cleansing from all sin, but it also secures peace with God. Peace with God. We read in Colossians chapter 1, in the verse 20 through to verse 22. Let me read it to you. And having made peace, speaking of Christ here, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, sinner, I want you to think of those words, that God will present men and women holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Now, tonight, you're the complete opposite of what we've read, for you're unholy. And tonight, you're blameable. And tonight, you're reprovable for your sins. But this is what the blood of Christ can do. The blood of Christ can secure peace with God. And what a wonderful thing that is, to have peace with God. Tonight, I'll go home. And I'll put my head on the pillow. And I'll eventually get over to sleep. Because I have peace with God. But not the sinner. The sinner is like the troubled sea. You see, the sinner is portrayed in the Word of God as being at war with God. We've read it here in these words. He's described as an enemy. And as a result of being an enemy, then there is enmity between God, a holy God, and sinful man. We're born at war with God. Something has to happen. Something has to happen with that enmity for a man to be at peace with God. Because can I say, God does not settle the terms of peace any other way but by his cross. It's the only way. And it's through the blood of his cross. That enmity that is a byproduct of sin can only be dealt with by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ deals with sin. And because the blood deals with sin, then the blood of Christ deals with our enmity. And as a result, man can be reconciled to God. And Christ's death on Calvary's cross, the death that involved the shedding of his blood, sin, the very thing that causes enmity, can be removed. And peace with God then is secured. Quite simply, by and through the blood of Jesus, a sinner can be reconciled to God. Listen, sinner, there are no grounds of acceptance with God but on the grounds of the shed blood. Cain was to realize that. Whenever God refused his bloodless sacrifice but accepted his brother's offering, that animal sacrifice that involved the shedding of blood, Cain realized God was looking for blood. The Egyptians realized that. Whenever death went into their homes, Whenever that death angel encroached into their dwelling place that Passover night and yet left the blood-marked homes of the children of Israel untouched, the Egyptians realized that God was looking for blood. Yes, and the Israelites were aware of it, because God would tell them through Moses in the words of Leviticus 17, verse 11, "For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." The Israelites realized that God was looking for the blood. Can I say that God is always looking for the blood? He's looking for the blood. Whenever he sees the blood of a worthy sacrifice, he is reconciled to the trusting sinner. But with no blood, there is no reconciliation. With no blood, there is no satisfaction. And with no blood, there is no peace. So I want you, sinner, to put away from your mind the thought that your church attendance and your church loyalty, that your confirmation, your baptism, your charitable deeds, your faith, your confessions, your pilgrimages, your tears, your self-righteousness will secure peace with God. I want you to put that away from your mind, because none of those can deal with the enmity that exists between you and your God. No, there is the need of the blood. So let me ask you, has the blood of Christ put your sins away? Has the blood of Christ put your sins away? Have your transgressions been drowned in the crimson tide of Emmanuel's blood? If not, you would need to see to that matter tonight. Again, it was Mr. Spurgeon who said and warned. He says, "Morality may keep you out of jail, but it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to keep you out of jail." Morality may keep you out of jail, but the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will keep you out of hell. And so, sinner, do you long for pardon? Well, then look away to the blood of Christ. Are you seeking peace? Then look away to the blood of Christ. Are you seeking victory over sin and Satan? Then look away. Look away to the blood of Christ. Are you searching for perfect safety, not only in life, but in God's eternity? Then, sinner, look away. Look away to the blood of Christ. By faith, fix your gaze upon the crimson tide. Fix your eye upon the cleansing stream. Plunge. Wash. Make application to the blood tonight and allow that blood to wash your sins away. There's another thing that the precious blood of Jesus Christ does. The blood of Jesus Christ not only secures cleansing from sin, it not only secures peace with God, but the blood of Jesus Christ, it secures our place in heaven. It secures my place in heaven. John, whilst in exile on the Isle of Patmos, he was given a revelation, a vision into heaven itself. We have that vision, that revelation, in the book of the Revelation. You read there, in Revelation chapter 7, in verse number 9, he says, "And I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands." One of the elders would ask John in the verse 13. He would say, "What are these? What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?" And John said to that elder, he says, "Sir, thou knowest." The elder, he replied, and he said unto me, verse 14, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." They've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How do these people How do these people from different nations, kindreds and people and tribes and tongues, how have they come to stand before God? How? Knowing our own sinfulness, how have they come to stand before God? And they've come because they've washed their wounds in the blood of the Lamb. That's the reason. And whenever I stand in heaven, and some angel who never failed, who never needed a redeemer, whenever that angel comes and speaks to me and says, "How have you come to be healed?" I'm going to say, "I have come by the way of the cross, and I have come by the blood of the Lamb." These are people ethnically diverse, different skin color, different culture, and yet I want you to see that they've all come the same way, because there is no other way but by the cross of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, you want to be a citizen of heaven? Have your sins been washed in the blood? You see that word washed, it carries the thought of there's a stain. And it's true, there is a stain. There is a stain upon the human nature. Adam placed the stain there. And every man is robed with flesh. And every man has that stain. It's called the stain of sin. And that stain needs to be washed away. The hymn writer asked the question, "What can wash away my sin?" The reply came back, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You know, they're the same blood that washed the sins of the harlot Rahab away. And the same blood that washed away the sins of the dying thief. And the same blood that washed away the sins of that church persecutor and Christian murderer, Paul, Saul. And the blood that washed this preacher's sins away is the blood that can wash your sins away. There are so many other blessings that come to us via the blood of Christ. Redemption. What is redemption? It simply is to be delivered from sin's captivity and slavery. We read it in our text. Ye are not redeemed by gold, silver, but by the precious blood. That thought is again found in the book of Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. We're justified by the blood. Romans 5 verse 9, much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified, just as if I never, my people say, just as if I never had sinned. No. Just as if I never had been a sinner. That's our standing. That's the standing of a justified man. Just as if they never had been a sinner. We're sanctified by the blood. We mean by sanctified, we're separated from sin unto God. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, were brought nigh by the blood. Ephesians 2 verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're made an overcomer whenever we're a Christian. We're made an overcomer by the blood, the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us. But there we read in Revelation 12 and the verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There's overcoming power in Jesus' precious blood. All of these things, all of these blessings come through the blood of Christ. No wonder then Peter said that it was precious blood. As one preacher said, the blood of Jesus Christ arrests the course of the law in its pursuit of the sinner. It magnifies the law. It restores access to God. It cleanses. It justifies. It redeems unto God. And then he said these words, "Never was blood like this. Never was there blood like this." Sinner, in light of all that we have said, in light of all that we have said, do you place any value on the blood of Christ? Because can I say, if you place any value on his blood, tonight you'll not walk out of this door and trample that blood underfoot. You'll not do that if you place any value on the blood of Jesus Christ. The hymn writer said, "Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for sinners, shed for rebels, shed for me." This illustration we close. When the evangelist John Wesley, the father of Methodism, when John Wesley was returning home from a service one night, he was robbed. A thief encountered him and held him up. However, the thief found out that his victim, Mr. Wesley, had only a little money and just some Christian literature. As the thief was leaving Mr. Wesley, he called out, "Stop! Stop! I have something more to give you." The surprised robber paused. Mr. Wesley said, "My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. And if you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The thief hurried away. Mr. Wesley prayed that his words would bear fruit. Years later, John Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service when he was approached by a stranger. He was surprised to learn after conversation with that visitor that was now a believer in Jesus Christ, that it was the one who robbed him the night on that road just after preaching the gospel. That man was now a successful businessman. And he said to John Wesley that night, he says, "Mr. Wesley, I owe it all to you." Mr. Wesley said, "Oh no, my friend, not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin." Thank God tonight, we owe it all to the blood of Christ. You may live to regret this sort of life. So I want you to remember this: the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And thank God, the word sown in his heart, bless God, bore fruit. He made application to the blood, and thank God, even his robbery and even his abuse of the man of God, even that sin was washed in Jesus' precious blood. Come then. Come to the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Because the blood has lost none of its power. It's still efficacious. Still able. Still well able to wash your sins away. May tonight you come to the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's unite in prayer.